Cool. And I'm going to preach today, and I've got a very specific time to preach. So I felt God speak very strongly and specifically to this church. I was praying about 3 weeks ago, and I know that God's spoken and He's got His hand on you, and it's so exciting seeing what He's doing. But I also felt that a lot of people come to a place of complacency. You get to a place in your Christian life where you're just comfortable. You're just comfortable going through the routine and going through the motions of life, going to church, attending, but not participating, watching, and just coming along, but not bringing what you carry inside of you. And I believe that there's some people that are sitting here, and you are sitting, and you're there, and you're sitting frustrated, because you're longing for more. You're longing for the kingdom of God to break in. And you sit there, and I remember being frustrated as a church attender, member, and also frustrated now as a leader. It's on both sides. Trust me. As leaders, we want to take the city. We want to take the world. And someone coming along, you might be sitting there thinking, whoa, I wish that the church would do this. And it's easy to point fingers and say, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. Who are they? You are they. The church. Who's the church? You and me. You are the answer. And sometimes your calling is found in your frustration. Where you're frustrated, you're thinking, well, we could do this. Then do it. Telling you, God has put something inside every one of you, and you can do this. We can do this as the Church of Jesus Christ, not as one man bands, but as a body of Christ. We can actually change this nation and the nations of the world. I promise you, the answer in the future is the local church. It is not a parachurch organization. It's not something that's going to be separated from the church. You are the answer to every problem in society. Amen. Come on, I need to read the Bible. So, I also felt God say He's going to restore your first love today. And I'm praying for that, I'm believing for that. So can you turn to the book of Haggai? Okay, go to your contents page. Because I don't want you to be embarrassed. You know, when you start flicking, Haggai's the one that you just don't see. Right? So I can't even give you a clue. So it's on page, what's it, 1005. So please turn there. Between Genesis and Revelations. You'll find it. Go on. Haggai. Can everyone say Haggai? Oh, what a name. Who wants to name the kid Haggai? That's our first kid's name, I'm telling you. Haggai. I feel the Lord speaking. Haggai chapter 1. When you found it, can you shout amen? Amen. Come on. Okay, so Haggai 1. It says this in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come. Can you say the time has not yet come? To rebuild the house of the Lord. In verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Can you say, consider your ways? You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes in it. Can anyone say amen to that? Inflation. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We pray, Father, would you just grip every heart here? I pray, Lord, this wouldn't just be information, but Lord, it would be a transformation of the heart by your Holy Spirit. Would every heart be transformed and stirred with your kingdom? In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Now, to give a bit of context to Haggai, has anyone ever read this book? Anyone? Awesome. It's a fantastic book. It's an incredible book. But to give a bit of context, Haggai comes on the scene in the book of Ezra. So you got Ezra where King Cyrus, the king of the Persians, he had given a decree and an order to the people of God that you are to rebuild the temple of God. You are going to go and start rebuilding the place where the presence of God would come and dwell. And this is an enemy nation giving them favor. And they started rebuilding this temple. They started and they laid the foundation. And they got it all going and everything's starting. Everyone's excited. Everything's happening now. And what happens? Opposition arises from the enemy. And enemy people come along and they see these people starting to build something that they fear. And so what they do is they oppose the work of God. And when they oppose that work, they stir up trouble. And the Bible says in Ezra chapter 4, he says, they hired counselors to frustrate the purpose of God. They hired people to frustrate the purpose of God. And the people face opposition, face opposition, face opposition, face opposition. And what happens is they stop. They stop building before it's finished. Has anyone here ever started something and not finished it? Has anyone had that feeling of there was something exciting happening in the atmosphere? You got a prophetic word from God where God said, you're going to do great things. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. And then someone died. Anyone experienced that? And what happens? You start something so well with all this enthusiasm and energy and faith. And you face the opposition. And what happens? You stop. And then you end up in a place of discouragement and disappointment and you don't want to go there again. And this is what happens with the people of God. For 18 years, they stop and they sit and they start getting distracted with other things. Because this is what happens in discouragement and disappointment. You face opposition, you get stopped in your tracks and you start looking for other things to find fulfillment in. Instead of the purposes and the works of God. And your purpose gets frustrated. And I don't know about you, has anyone here ever been frustrated? Come on. You're frustrated at the pace that things are growing. You're frustrated at the breakthroughs that you are seeing. You get frustrated at all kinds of things. If you like me, you get frustrated at a lot. Why? Because people who get frustrated are dreamers. And you dream that God could do something in our generation that he's never done before. But to get there, there's a whole big process. And we don't like that part. And I feel like God's just coming here today and he's saying, I want to break you out of a place of complacency, out of a place of disappointment and discouragement, into a place of faith again, where you get a desire to build the house of God together. Amen. Come on. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. But are you like the people in Haggai in verse 2 where it says, these people say the time has not yet come. The time is now. It's not for 50 years time. You know, we sit and we wait and we wait and we wait. And instead of saying, God, what can we do now to bring this kingdom onto the earth? You have the power within you, the kingdom within you, to bring transformation to the city. Now is the time. You know, we don't say never. We say sometime. We don't say, oh, I'll never do that. Oh, I'll never do, you know. But one day when I get prayed for this prophet, or I get prayed for the big, you know, traveling minister, then I'll be empowered to do the works of Jesus. No. Now is the time. Amen. Come on. Hey, you guys are going quiet on me again. what's going on here? You know what it is? Church should not be at 9 a.m. I don't know about you. In England, it's at 10:30. We still struggle to get up. It's so dark in England. It's dark when you wake up, dark when you go to, oh, it's just terrible, man. It's darkest England. Genuinely, guys, you're in Africa, stay in Africa, because England is, oh man, this is rainy and everything you can think about England, it's true, right? And we found this thing of the purpose getting frustrated, and when the purpose gets frustrated, we get distracted. And I've seen this, people get distracted, disappointed, and even into a place of deception, where you don't think that God could ever do something in that area again. And I want to ask you, in your life, where are you? Where are you sitting? Are you sitting in a place where you're like, yes, God, we can do this? Or are you sitting there just cynical and not thinking that God could do anything in this generation? Oh my goodness, everyone's going to, the artificial intelligence is going to take over. Robots are going to take over the world. All this negative stuff that I see coming into the church. Actually, no, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is mighty. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. I find it fascinating. You can sit in the same church week after week and you can have Malusi going forward in worship and doing a great job and connected to the body of Christ. And you can have some people going through the same experience, totally disconnected. Totally disconnected. What is it? A positioning of heart in the purposes of God. He's pressed in the secret place. That's why he's releasing worship in the public. I'm telling you, God is doing something today. And I know in Haggai, he gets to a place where he says, you building houses for yourself, you living in paneled houses, while this house of the Lord is remaining in ruins. Have you got to that place in your own life where you're just getting on with your own thing? Totally devoid of what God is doing through the body. I've been there. I've been there. Where I thought, oh my goodness, I'm just going to get on with my own thing, do my own thing. You know what? Worst year of my life. When you give up on what God's doing as a body and think that your thing's bigger, I tell you, God puts his blessing on his house. And he calls us to be a people who build his house and not just our own thing. And priorities get distracted because for 18 years they've been sitting in a place of complacency, discouragement, and deception. Because they just see themselves, we're just exiles. We're not sons and daughters of the kingdom. And if you see yourself like that, God's wanting to break you out of it right here today. Amen. Come on. Oh, I'm losing you guys. I'm losing you. You gotta go. Then here it comes. The prophetic comes in. And Haggai gets on the scene. And the word of the Lord comes by the prophet Haggai. Now, I'm very encouraged by this because this house is a prophetic house. Craig's got a prophetic gift that he carries. That's undeniable. And I know that I saw on the internet there was a prophetic conference, I think with Hans or someone, who was it? There was a prophetic conference that was happening. That is exciting because if you've ever been in a place of just living for yourself, when a prophet comes on the scene, what happens? All kinds of chaos happens because they come and they speak into you and they call something out of you that you didn't even see in yourself. And they call you to a place of destiny rather than to a place of deception and discouragement. They bring you out of yourself into the purposes of God. We all need the prophetic more and more and more. And in Ezra it says, the elders built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. Do you want to know how to build your life and prosper? Through the prophesying of the prophetic in the church. Allow the prophetic to become not just something you hear about and put on the side, but actually apply yourself to the prophetic words of God. Amen. Come on. Jesus is doing something today. And the Bible says in verse 12 that when the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, they worshiped God, and Haggai says to them, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of the high priest, and the people came and worked on the house of God. How many people here need their spirits to be stirred up? It's okay, you know, it's okay to say, I need a holy defibrillator to come and just charge up with charge and electric energy and just go, poof. Have you ever used one of those? No, I wish I had them in science classes. You know, they have the Bunsen burners. Everyone's like, don't touch the teachers. Imagine we had those. Oh, science would be exciting. I want to tell you something. God has a holy set of those. And he's coming and he's just saying, where are you? I want to electric charge you with energy and fullness of heaven right now. And he just wants to come. And where are you feeling like you're dying inside? He's wanting to just come and restore life and just go, life. Can you imagine that if you feel dead, if you've been going through the motions, God's wanting to just come and put those on you and say, life in the name of Jesus. He wants to see you alive. But Haggai comes and I love the scripture because he says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. What are your ways? Has anyone, who here drives? Raise your hand. Let's see. Let's see. Who here takes a taxi or a bus or something like that? Can you raise your hands? Yeah. I took the bus in the United Kingdom and then I also drove. And I know that there's certain times when you get on to a bus or you get into a car, you start going towards your destination. And has anyone ever got to your destination and can't remember how you got there? Suddenly you get there and you think, did I hit someone? Did I run someone over? What just happened? Because you go on to default. I know when I used to drive back from Durban, I'd be driving and then next minute I'm in Pietermaritzburg. I thought, how did I just get here? Because you go into a different world and you start forgetting what's actually happening. You just go into drift mode and just cruise control and you're driving along, just cruising along. And before you know it, you're at your destination. And sometimes, I remember in London, you get into a bus. London is confusing. There are buildings so high, you can't see where the mountain is. So you can't get your direction. So I get in the bus. I thought, I've got this. I go to my destination, you know, central London, and then I get on the bus and I realize, wait, this, you know, the Big Ben, all these things, that's not the right, because I got on the wrong side of the road. But I didn't know which side was the right side because there's no point of reference. And you start going and you realize I'm going the wrong direction and British people are stingy. They don't give you a chance. They're not like, oh, sorry, you took it wrong. They charge you again. I tell you. The British, they're crooks. I'll tell you, some of the most stingy people I know. I mean, when they give money, the queen cries because they squeeze the money so hard as it comes out their hand. I'm telling you, South African people, we have more generosity than one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Amen. Oh, no amens there. who's on our notes these days? I don't even know. But, the thing is, we've got this thing where we get into cruise control and before you know it, you're at your destination. I want to ask you the question, where is your life going today? Where is your life going? Are you going to find yourself one day becoming an 80-year-old, 90-year-old person? Grumpy, cynical, no life, temper, no inheritance. And you're going to say, how did I get here? Oh, it's just the way I am. Because you haven't considered your ways when you were younger. And this is a time where we say, actually, I'm going to consider my ways. I'm going to sit down at the drawing board with the Holy Spirit and say, God, I don't want to become that person. I want to be more on fire for Jesus Christ when I'm 90 than when I'm 26. I want to be more on fire for Jesus Christ in 5 years than right now. I'm going to be more on fire for Christ, more loving, more caring, more looking like Christ than ever before because I want to sit down and consider my ways and say, actually, God, I'm not going to settle for my past family inheritance. I'm settling for the inheritance of heaven. And that's the difference. As you, I hear people say all the time, oh, my family are this, my family are that, therefore I'm going to be this, my family are all depressed, my family are all alcoholics, my family are all this. Well, who cares? You're part of a new family. Last time I checked, Jesus wasn't those. So why should you be them? Oh, but I've got a curse from my family. Well, guess what? Jesus became a curse for you so that you could be free. This is the truth of the gospel. And the longer we define ourselves by our past rather than by who Christ is and the cross that we sang about so wonderfully today, we will always live in the limitations of humanity rather than the glory of Christ. This is the day of change. Dylan, but I enjoy being grumpy. You know something? I actually enjoy being grumpy. I won't lie. My poor wife. But she's so happy all the time. So I wake up. I'm like, babe, I just want to be grumpy. I just want to take my tea, read my Bible, you know, meet with Jesus and be grumpy. And she doesn't let me. She just laughs at me. I thought, no one told me marriage was this good. You know, no one told me. Everyone's like, be careful, marriage, you know. That marriage is so good. She just laughs at me and brings the best out of me. It's amazing. But the thing is, we're on a process. I said, babe, whatever happens, our goal, our purpose is to be more Christ-like in the future than where we are now. Come on. That is the goal. We're not comparing ourselves to one another. We compare ourselves and say, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And I know that we need to change out of cruise control today. And we need to consider our ways and say, God, actually, here I am. Here I am. And as Haggai said, he says, go up to the hills, bring wood and build the house. Go up to the hills, bring wood and build the house. Where are you going today? Where are you going? You want to bring something of value to this house, to this church? Are you going up to the hills? Or are you going to gossip with Auntie Susie? Sorry, Susie. I don't know if there's a Susie in the chat. Are you going to go and tell everyone what's wrong with the church? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? This is why God isn't moving. You know, I've sat down with people for a whole evening to hear why God's not doing stuff. Well, what good is that going to do? Why not start doing what we need to start doing? Praying, believing, receiving the word of God. It's true. The longer we keep going around, let's go up to the hills. Let's bring the wood and let's build the house. Let's go up to where Christ was crucified. Find that wood, the wooden cross where Christ was crucified, and let's see him. You know, I was in Cape Town on this trip. In Cape Town, some of the biggest hurts I've ever seen in churches. One church, I walked in, I thought, oh my goodness, there's just pain everywhere. People confused, people hurting. And I said to the guys, I said, you know what? You actually don't have the right to be offended. Offense is a choice that you apply to your life. I've watched offense rob people and destroy people's lives. Anyone who's been offended for a season, I've been offended. What do? You run in circles and you go around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain. God's just saying, I want to use you, but you've got to deal with this. And I say to people, you know what? Oh, but so-and-so didn't wish me happy birthday, but he wished KJ happy birthday. Why does KJ get the happy birthday and not me? I want you to take that hurt and that pain and go up the hill, look at the cross and say, Jesus, I'm not going to be part of your church. I'm giving up on the church. I'm not going to sow my life into the kingdom because Craig didn't say happy birthday. And Jesus is sitting there about to get a nail through his hand. Craig didn't say happy birthday. Can you imagine what Jesus would have done? Last time I read my Bible in Galatians 2, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I challenge you. Because these are the things that will rob you and destroy your life. But not just your life, because it's not just about you. It's about the house of God. And people, we live in a generation where we're one generation away from losing the local church. Because we have a generation coming through in the United Kingdom, in Africa, wherever we are, and they don't believe in community anymore. And they cry out for intimacy. It's all about me, my gifting, my ministry, my focus, instead of about the Lord's house which remains in ruins. Where are you sowing your life today? And as in Haggai 1:6, he says, you've sown much, you've harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You earn wages to put them in pockets with holes in it. I'm going to tithe one day when I've got enough money. It doesn't work. You'll never have enough because you haven't learned the principle. I still get shocked. I meet businessmen in the UK who are atheists, secular atheists that are tithing their whole businesses. Millions of pounds. Why? And the church is struggling. This is a time when we need to be sowing into the house like never before. Amen. And I want to say that I love verse 9 where he says, you've got busyness. You've become busy. Has anyone become busy? I mean, even in Maritzburg, you get busy. There's no traffic. I mean, I used to think Maritzburg was busy, you know, like 5 o'clock traffic on a Friday. Hey, you go through London, there's so many cars, I think this is demonic. You know, 8 million people trying to fit those streets, just evil. But here's the thing. Busyness grips our hearts. I've watched people get busy with stupid things. And you get distracted because why? You've lost the heart of God for the house. I know people who used to be part of churches that loved the local church. And they just got stale. And they allowed their lives to drift and drift. And drifting. God's just saying, come back, my child. Come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. Let's put our hands together. Let's build the house of God like never before. I know this isn't the nicest message to preach for your first guest appearance. I really planned a cozy, comforting one. You know, like the Holy Spirit's going to hug you and make you feel nice and all. No. God loves you enough to challenge you. He loved me enough to challenge me in my sin. And my problems. And I know that for 18 years, I felt very specifically actually today that God is wanting to break someone, specifically that number, 18 years. For 18 years, you've just been in a cycle. You've come to a place of that discouragement, deception place for 18 years. And you've been in that place. And God is wanting to set you free. He's wanting to unlock you today. Because actually, God is doing something in the world that's going to require freedom in the church. It's going to require freedom. And he's pouring out his spirit. But as Big Dave and me, it's so good to see you. But when Dave and me would sit and talk, the new wine requires new wineskins. It won't fit into the old wineskin. The old way of doing things won't always work. And even in the charismatic church, we come to a place where we've got into formulas and structures. That sometimes charismatic churches can be more religious than traditional churches. I was in a Baptist church for a while in the UK. They were free. Walk into some, you know, the incredible church on fire for Christ. Walk into some charismatic church. Oh, we don't do that. Well, why not? We're charismatics. What? I didn't know that was a thing. Why? Because we build boxes and we say, God, you can move, but you fit into our little box. We want to put you back in the Ark of Covenant. You know, you broke yourself up, but now, Lord, time to get back in there. Come on, amen, yeah. God is working. God is working. And he's saying, my son, my daughter, have you put God in a box? Have you said, God, you can only move on a Sunday? Or like that one sister shared, she said, I pray for an hour. I didn't know I could do it. Suddenly you start praying day in and day out and you come on a Sunday, not just to get, but to bring. Not just to receive, but to give. And you come in and you fight up and Craig he, and Masala, they've got a queue of people wanting to share prophetic words. Guys, you got to sit down. There's just too much. There are too many prophetic words. Can you imagine that day? You are the carrier of the presence of God. And I want to encourage you and say, look at the cross again. Look at the cross again. This is the time that the Lord has made. Amen. And I want to pray that God would just touch you today. He would stir you today. He would bring things to the light. I would really desire that you would sit down with Jesus today and say, God, I need you to break through here. I need you to break me out of a place of complacency, a place of staleness. I need the prophetic. And you know something? I'd love for every person here to prophesy. Every person over the person next to them. Because you carry the power. Oh, now your heart's starting to beat. Oh my goodness, I need the toilet. You're going to run, you know. As soon as anything that requires you to move or to say something. I was that person. I'd sit near the back and then quickly shoot out. One bad thing, I'll just share a story. You know, with communion, do you guys have separate glasses? Praise the Lord. I never forget, I was at a church and they had the one glass. And you know, people are sneezing. And then they're drinking and it goes quick, and it goes around. And it goes around and people are going, and you're thinking, ooh. You know, ooh. And so I was preaching at the church and they brought the glass around and I was lost. So I said, hey, I feel the Lord speaking, I'm coming now. And I walked out. I went to the bathroom and then they came up to me afterwards. They noticed, unfortunately. They said, why do you go out in communion? I said, do you want the honest answer or do you want the spiritual answer? And I praise God for your communion glasses. But if you're that person that wants to run away from uncomfortable moments, this is not the time for that. Amen. Because Jesus loves